Dear listener, I need to tell you something, which is this. Kendra came to the Austin, Texas show. Mm-hmm. And then Kendra met back up with us in D.C. for the D.C. show. What did Kendra do between the Austin show and the D.C. show?
I had the time of my life. I got on an Amtrak train at 9:30 a.m. on Monday morning after the Austin show. At 1 p.m. on Tuesday, I arrived in Chicago. I took a shower in an Amtrak station, which was a luxury, actually. Okay. The shower at the Amtrak station was better than the shower at the Sonesta Hotel in D.C. No lie, hands down, cleaner, nicer, great.
Take that, Sonesta.
And then, so yeah, I took a shower at the Amtrak station and then got back on the train in Chicago at 6 p.m. and arrived in Washington, D.C. at 1 p.m. on Wednesday.
And when I tell you that Kendra, off of a 50-hour train ride, was in, no joke, the best mood I have ever seen Kendra in.
Yeah, even through Slack, that was palpable. It was, and I was like, right?
I was in a good mood. I admit that, like, I was happy that I had done it. I just genuinely didn't know that I was...
You were radiating happiness. That train made you happier than I've ever known you. Yeah, I've been 3 years, and I'm like, my God.
You had the same experience. We didn't talk about this. We have not talked about this.
Yeah, I was like, wow, Kendra's in a great mood. Also, tour is exhausting. You know, I was just, like, shocked that this was the show where you're like, you know what? Hey, like, it did make me want to go on a train.
I love taking the train across country. I highly recommend that everyone do it at least once. It's a great experience. And there's different routes that you can take. None of them are direct because our train system does suck.
Yeah.
Are there showers on the train?
There are showers on the train, but only if you're in one of your, like, if you get a roomette or a private car.
There's a picture of Joe Biden in them.
Because you don't need to.
My only concern about being on the train is what happens if you get on the train and then an hour in, you're like, actually, I hate this. Actually, I'm not a train person because I lived in a fantasy and now I'm here.
You're stuck. You are stuck if that happens.
Okay. Well, I don't know how to what
you
do about that.
You're seeing the Ozarks and you're seeing the Mississippi and like you're going through. I went through a little bit of West Virginia. It was like great time. It's a great way to see the country.
Okay. This is good to know.
I'm here with Kendra, Hallie, Sarah, Pundit, David on the ones and twos. Let's get into it. What a weekday. Over the past week, President Biden has put down the ice cream cone and taken some more direct swings at Donald Trump. Biden delivered this one-liner at last week's North American Building Trades Union Conference.
By the way, remember when he was trying to deal with COVID, he said, just inject a little bleach in your veins. He missed it. All went to his hair.
That joke killed there.
I don't think you've ever crushed that hard.
Yeah.
Biden then transitioned into his crowd work segment by asking people in the audience if they're, quote, fucking or sucking or what. What do we get? What else?
I just keep thinking about it. I'm like looking at, I want to talk to his skin person. I want to know what he's on.
Skin looks good.
It's skin looks great.
He looks great.
You got to see him in person, right?
He looked great. I did. He looks great.
I need the information.
I think we just got it.
What?
He looks great. That's the info.
Yeah.
There were canapes.
How was the White House food?
I didn't eat anything.
Okay.
I don't, you know.
You don't?
Yeah.
During a campaign speech in Tampa last Tuesday, Biden mocked Trump's Bible salesman side gig.
He said, there has to be punishment for women exercising their reproductive freedom. He described the Dobbs decision as a miracle. Maybe it's coming from that Bible he's trying to sell. Whoa. I almost wanted to buy one just to see what the hell's in it.
I mean, it is possible that if you're looking for retrograde ideas about how to treat women, there are worse books to check. You know, when you think about it.
Wait, there are worse?
Than what's in the Bible? No, there are worse books to check that aren't the Bible.
Like the Bible will have those ideas.
Yeah. That was clear from the grammar of it. All right.
It wasn't like laugh out loud clear.
It definitely wasn't laugh out loud clear.
Sort of a true observation.
Yeah, just an observation. A Biden campaign spokesman said that the president is coming up with his own taunts himself, saying, this isn't SNL. We're not writing jokes for him. This isn't SNL, a creaking institution that kind of works, but also is somehow immune to time and all competitors. I hope it is SNL. Biden is SNL.
I hope he's as immortal as Lorne Michaels.
Yeah.
Yeah. I think they go to the same skin guy. Go to the same sandblaster. The taunting continued at Saturday's White House Correspondents' Dinner.
But look, age is the only thing we have in common. My vice president actually endorses me.
You bet, said Kamala Harris, glancing up from her jigsaw puzzle. Trump fired back in a Truth Social post, writing that the White House Correspondents' Dinner was really bad, Colin Jost bombed, and Crooked Joe was an absolute disaster. Doesn't get much worse than this. I don't know. I actually tuned into the Truth Social Correspondents' Dinner for a bit, and I would say it wasn't much funnier. No, come on, guys. That wasn't it. Can we get the actual clip from the Truth Social Correspondents' Dinner?
I am your Redeemer. It is by my hand. You will rise from the ashes of this world.
Nice. That was sort of the serious close. Biden also gave an interview to Howard Stern on Friday, where he was asked if he'd be willing to debate Trump before the election. Biden replied, I am somewhere. I don't know when, but I am happy to debate him. Howard Stern capped off the interview by asking the president if his tits were real and if he'd ever be open to sleeping with an older man.
It was really funny to be on the East Coast when that dropped because I had kind of forgotten the scramble that happens when you wake up and something unexpected shows up. Because when we wake up here, everyone's kind of taking care of it already.
Yeah, we're 3 hours behind.
But people were like, seemed to just be like freaking out.
Yeah, the news broke. Yeah, it's nice being on the West Coast. You can miss a whole news cycle. Trump advisor Chris LaCivita responded in a quote tweet writing, okay, let's set it up. For those listening who aren't from Los Angeles, let's set it up is code for it's never going to happen. Oh, and we all know what that sound means. A Republican politician murdered a dog. An excerpt from South Dakota Governor Kristi Noem's forthcoming memoir went viral this week in which she describes killing her dog Cricket, a wire-haired pointer, in a gravel pit near her home. You can't treat a dog like this. You can't treat a dog like their life is nothing to you. This isn't a woman with preeclampsia.
Oh.
According to Noem, the 14 sorry. According to Noem, the 14-month-old puppy, went out of her mind with excitement during a pheasant hunt and attacked a neighbor's chickens before biting Noem when she tried to pull her away. You know what they say, you can't teach a young dog new tricks after Kristi Noem executes them gangland style. Besides, that puppy should have known that we have an elaborate system of rules for different kinds of birds, like pheasants and chickens. You can't not kill a pheasant and then kill a chicken and expect to live. Wrote Noem, I hated that dog, calling Cricket untamable and dangerous to anyone she came in contact with and less than worthless as a hunting dog. I can't help but think that a skilled ghostwriter would know that I can make tough decisions as an angle works better when you admit the part about how much you hate the dog. It's like if in the Sully Sullenberger biography, he said crashing the plane into the river was the only way he could come. It would take away from the heroism.
Yeah, I'm obsessed with it.
Yeah, you'd have to wonder if he always wanted to crash and land in the river.
In the back of your mind.
You wouldn't be sure.
It's like, oh, one goose got in there. You got to land that thing. All right, brother.
Noem concluded her anecdote by pointing to it as proof that she is willing to do the things that are difficult, messy, and ugly. But you don't need to tell us you killed a dog to show us that you're willing to do things that are difficult, messy, and ugly. We got that from the fact that you want to be Trump's VP.
Yeah, it was worth it.
We
spent so much time. Delon, I just want everyone listening at home to know that to produce that sound effect, Hallie, Sarah, and I, and Delon is playing horn after horn and bark after bark. And we're like, no, Hallie, make the sound. How do you Google that?
How do you Google it?
How do you Google that?
I Googled old time and Delon Googled clown car. And
that's how we find it. And then it was time to also affix a bark to it. What kind of bark? Delon had selected a howl. Mm-hmm. Didn't work. Couldn't fly.
It was all kind of ominous.
And we're like, no, we need a higher bark. And finally, we realized it had to be a specific breed.
It had to be a Jack Russell Terrier.
Wouldn't be funny if it wasn't a Jack Russell Terrier.
And listeners, I want to know from each and every one of you in the comments, was that worth it?
They're going to say yes.
Well, I guess the people who had been commenting are people who enjoy to see how the sausage is made. And only a pervert would want to see how the sausage is made. This is all the meat getting all mixed up. You know what I mean? Like, it's like, okay, I don't need to see all that.
Hey, don't go anywhere. There's more of Love It or Leave It coming up.
Hey, sweetie, your mother showed me this Carvana thing for selling the car. I'm going to give it a try. Wish me luck. Me again. I put in the license plate. It gave me an offer. Unbelievable. Okay, I accepted the offer. They're picking it up Tuesday from the driveway. I haven't even left my chair. It's done. The car is gone. I'm holding a check. Anyway, Carvana, give it a whirl. Love ya.
So good, you'll want to leave a voicemail about it. Sell your car today on
Carvana.
Pickup fees may apply.
Noam also said she shot and killed a nasty and mean male goat that liked to chase her children, saying it took two bullets to put him down. I don't mind the dog thing, but goats too? She's lost my support, said an extra dark chocolate bar. said a grape.
I just feel like she can't keep accusing the animals of being bad. Like, at a certain point, it's like, well, you're either the dumbest person in the world or you actually think this. It's like, they're just animals. There's no maliciousness happening. They're not thinking about it in that
way. Keep your kids out of the goat pen. I don't know.
Also,
who hates a dog?
Okay, so here... No, I love my
Kendra.
Dog. No, that's not...
Say, you love animals.
No, I actually, like, what I think that this is worth saying, I have a lot of friends from non-white cultures who do not like dogs. They don't want to be around them. They don't want them in their offices. They don't want them in their homes. Like, that's not...
Seems like a blanket statement, but
I have quite a few friends who, like, who feel that way. And this is, like, something that is just such an... It is very American. It is it's very us. I'm not saying what she did was right by any means. Like, that is not how I would
ever...
Saying
we're
I mean, you
wrong.
Cannot like dogs, but then you just don't get a dog and execute it.
I also think when people say... I think, and that's such an important point. But I also think that, like, when people say, I don't like dogs, they're not saying... That's a shorthand for I don't like being around dogs. To have an animosity for the animal itself.
The specific animal.
It's more
it's
that
really like, I don't want to have a dog.
Dogs scare me. I don't feel safe around dogs. Dogs are dirty. I don't like being around them. You can have all those feelings. You can hate the experience of being around a dog without being like, I hate that dog.
Also, you can't name a dog Cricket if you're going to murder it. It's too cute a name.
Right.
It just, I don't know. It's just very interesting. I mean, there is a moment in the show Fallout on Amazon where a character...
Watch, stream it now.
Sure.
No spoilers.
Okay, I'm just going to... You cover your ears, because...
Spoiler alert, everyone watching and listening to this.
Yes.
Wait, but if you're listening and you don't want to spoil it for Fallout, I'm covering my ears.
Okay, there's just a very interesting moment where Walton Goggins' character, who is a character that is a scene chewer, everyone is really enjoying him. He kills a dog. That happens.
Mm-hmm.
And then by the end of the episode, they have him specifically, they take a moment to have him bring the dog back to life. And it was just very interesting for me to see them do that. And I'm sure it's a plot point or something, but it felt to me in the moment like they felt like they had to do that in order so that people could continue to enjoy the scene chewing, otherwise very fun character that he was playing. And that just like struck me as all of this Christy Noam stuff was coming out in the same weekend that I was watching this.
Oh, come back.
Just do that.
Yeah.
I'm back.
I do think that there's a level of depravity to this that I think what is shocking is that she's admitting it and seeing it specifically like that would be in the show, the thing you don't need to know about. But like it is something that this would indicate in a TV show or a movie that this person's evil.
Yes.
Like this is an unequivocal, this is a horrible thing to do. This person's horrible. And then to see this is a governor who's then going to try to explain it. And I will say from my perspective, as someone who's from a semi-rural area where people had a lot of animals and animals were dying left, right, center. It's just part of living out with that bunch of animals. This is bizarre. Like this is, this is something that someone who cared about animals would not be doing this nor talking about it in the way that she is, which is that she specifically hates these individual animals. That's insane. That's like an insane way to think about this. And again, she is the governor.
And that's again, like, do it. Don't tell any of us about it.
Announcing it is the insane part. Like, yes. No one
well,
was
also don't
sniffing
do
around
it.
This.
Don't do it,
I'd
but
also
we
don't
wouldn't
do
have
it.
Known. We wouldn't be having this conversation
no one was asking
if you
questions.
Didn't tell us.
We
she
don't
thought
need it.
This, she just missorted this story for the same reason I think she murdered the puppy, which is she didn't understand what it revealed about her. By the way, she also had to go back to her truck to reload to kill the goat because didn't kill the goat, which just means that the goat went out bad.
Yes.
Right, that's on her. And that's on her. Like, it's a goat. You should be, if you can't kill a goat with one shot, that's on you.
Yeah. Kevin Costner did that horse immediately in the first episode of Yellowstone.
And we all remember that.
Listen, I was trying to watch what the people were watching. I wanted to understand.
No, I get that.
In a statement calling itself the Dogmocratic Party, the DNC declared, if you want elected officials who don't brag about brutally killing their pets as part of their self-promotional book tour, then listen to our owners and vote Democrat. Democrats couldn't be further from Republicans on this issue. They wouldn't put down a dog even after it mauled 600 Secret Service agents. Noam defended herself in a social media post, saying, even if it was hard and painful, I followed the law and was being a responsible parent, dog owner, and neighbor. As I explained in the book, it wasn't easy, but often the easy way isn't the right way. First of all, I think the phrase follow the law is very interesting there, because the law may have allowed her to murder a puppy, but it didn't require her to murder a puppy. This is a situation in which she isn't saying the law bound her conduct, but permitted it. That's not a defense. That's a, you know, there's all kinds of things the law allows. Like, it was interesting because I saw it and I was like, oh, I never haven't thought about that. But when people say they follow the law, it can either mean that they did something the law required them to do, or they did something the law allowed them to do, or they did something in a way they wouldn't have otherwise done it in order to comply with the law. In this case, she just means the law allowed her to do it.
Yes, they did something that technically is not a criminal action.
Well, I think, unfortunately, like you said earlier, like, oh, she misunderstood how this comes across. And what I would argue is that's her understanding of how this comes across. It's like, I have done something that I am allowed to do by the law. And if the law allows it, then it is permissible with no interest in what other people would think about it emotionally, morally, just as animal lovers. Like, it is exactly that. Like, she wants you to know, I am willing to do these things, provided I am legally allowed to. Like, it's going up to the law. But unfortunately, we live in America, so the law can be changed and has been changed. And, like, they're attempting to change the law specifically for that reason. Like, oh, I'm allowed to do these horrible things. The law says I can.
Once the law allows me to enter a home without cause, rip a family apart, and forcibly deport them, I am willing to do that.
Yeah.
Right. Yeah, unfortunately, that's sort of their worldview about it.
It's like when someone says something terrible and people get mad at them, and they're like, it's a free country. We got free speech. It's like, yeah, you're allowed to say whatever you want, but people will get mad at you.
Like, we could see you and hear you, and we're also people. Like, that's what you don't seem to understand.
There's just an ideological part of this where it's a kind of cruel politics, and it's interesting because I was surprised. She is, in her statements, clearly this is like, she is defensive now. Like, she's not doing the kind of Marjorie Taylor Greene style, like, come at me, mm-hmm. libs. Yeah, she feels like this is a real issue. She's responding as though she has a genuine problem. And I feel like the larger, she sorted this into the, like, I know Republicans. And these days, Republicans want justice without mercy. And that if I can call this justice, I don't need to worry about mercy, because we don't care about mercy anymore. And actually, we view mercy as a form of weakness and a way of being taken advantage of. And everything about Trump, everything about Republican politics is to say Democrats are merciful because they are weak and pathetic and dupes. Every time you're compassionate, someone's going to take advantage of you. Don't be compassionate. Don't be merciful. All you need is justice. And this was, I think, a reminder that while there might be some subset of the Republican base that has gone so far that they get to the point where, like, yeah, sometimes you got to kill a 14-month-old puppy because it's easier to do that than to find a better home, and stop asking me to it's woke to demand you save a dog's life or whatever they'd have to get to. Like, they're not that far yet. But I do think to Kendra's point, like, there is a kind of, like, 100% justice, 0% mercy, political agenda. And she just misfired because people love dogs more.
It's a puppy. That's the thing. The one thing, there's so many other things she could have, scenarios she described. And it's like, you described the one scenario where even the most brutal person's like, well, you didn't have to, like, shoot the puppy.
And I think that's the thing that says more to me about her than the actual murder of the puppy, which, again, is bad.
We all agree.
It is the full miscalculation that she is not smart enough to realize how that would come off, and thought to herself, this is a good story to release.
For sure.
And that this would come off well. And I think that
not should, a great sign.
That
not
should
a great
tell
sign.
Us more.
Yeah.
Or just as much as the shooting of the dog.
Yeah, can't argue with that.
No, I think the shooting of the dog is still worse than even telling us about it.
Number one, number two. I think they're right there, you know.
Number three
was that ad for veneers she put on.
Yeah. First the dog murder, two the book, three the veneers. Anyway, as she claims that sometimes the right thing isn't easy. But the hard way isn't always right either. I would find it hard to hunt the Love It or Leave It crew in the woods with a crossbow, but that wouldn't make me a hero for doing it, even if they do maul a few chickens when I let them leave the office.
Also, you'd find it hard simply because I don't believe that you can use a crossbow.
Also, we're too fast.
No, you would just wear the wrong shoes.
You're not too fast.
I think you'd just wear the wrong shoes and then we'd barely outrun you.
Yeah. The three of us versus Love It in the woods, the three of us are taking it.
We're taking it.
We'd be smart enough to run in three different directions.
Yeah. Depends how much time I have.
You have to start practicing a crossbow now.
Wrote Gnome in another tweet, "We love animals, but tough decisions like this happen all the time on a farm. Sadly, we just had to put down three horses a few weeks ago that had been in our family for 25 years. But what was she supposed to do? The horses tried to unionize. In the end, Gnome had dug herself quite a hole to bury her pets, but also a metaphorical hole because of the scandal around killing her pets." The New York Post reported Monday that an anonymous Trump... The New York Post reported Monday that an anonymous Trump ally claimed Gnome now has no chance of being Trump's VP following the story. Said the Post source, "Trump isn't a dog person necessarily." No fucking shit.
I love that qualifier. That was so good.
He's not. But I think he understands that you can't choose a puppy killer as your pick for blatantly obvious reasons. This is not important. I hate the phrase blatantly obvious. Mm-hmm. It just means obviously obvious. And I don't know, maybe this is wrong, maybe there is an answer, but is there something that can be obvious without being obviously obvious? Is there something that can be subtly obvious? Because isn't it obvious?
No, if it's obvious, then it's... Yeah.
Like, obviously obvious is like the derivative of obvious. Like, obvious is the curve, and obviously obvious is like the slope of the curve, and it's like... I just think it's doing too much.
Are you suggesting that Trump allies aren't smart and good at language?
Well, that is something I would allege. I know, but obvious. I just don't know why, take this. How can something like, if he said, you can't choose a puppy killer, and I think the reason is obvious, that's better than saying blatantly obvious. I don't think it makes it seem more.
He's acknowledging that some people won't think it's obvious. Like, blatantly almost undermines the obviousness of it, which makes sense because she doesn't know it's obvious. That's what we're running into. It's like, it is obvious, and yet she's publishing it in a memoir.
If blatantly obvious means anything, it wouldn't apply here because this is a situation in which they're saying, to us, this is obvious. To her, it was not. It wasn't blatantly obvious. It was just obvious. And actually, that argues for the fact that there is a place for a phrase like blatantly obvious in a situation where you don't have a disagreement as to whether or not it was obvious.
You turned yourself right around.
Yeah.
This
dislike of adverbs is definitely coming from the one person here who did not grow up reading Harry Potter.
Does that thing have a lot of adverbs?
She loves adverbs. They're all over those books.
I don't believe in any kind of like firm and hard. Like there's no rules. But as a rule of thumb, going through and crossing out adverbs makes anything better. Almost always. Uh-oh, you know what that sound means. It's time for an update on Arizona. Last week, an Arizona grand jury indicted a number of Trump allies, including Rudy Giuliani and former White House officials Mark Meadows and Boris Epstein, over their efforts to overturn the 2020 election. Wow, who would have guessed that 9/11 would actually turn out to be the best day of someone's life? In addition to Trump's day-to-day cronies, Arizona also indicted every single fake elector who agreed to take part in the former president's scheme, including two state senators, Anthony Kern and Jake Hoffman. I think it's cool that Arizona really took its time with this. No one expects to be indicted 4 years later, probably startled Rudy into squirting his ink. Far from distancing themselves from these clowns, the Arizona GOP has elected indicted fake elector Jake Hoffman to serve as national committeeman for the RNC, or, as accused co-conspirator Rudy Giuliani keeps calling him by mistake, Jack Off Man.
Wonderful.
Jack Off Man. Yeah. Jack Off Man.
Jack Off Man.
Mm-hmm.
In other Arizona news, the state Senate is poised to approve a bill to repeal Arizona's Civil War-era near-total abortion ban this week. Once that ban is repealed, Arizonans will finally be free to live under a 15-week abortion ban that is already in place. So I hope people understand what Republicans just fought tooth and nail to save, because they had to beg to finally get three Republicans to cross party lines. On the third try, which alienated them from their own party, got them stripped of their committees to repeal an abortion law, not to put in place a policy where people are free to make decisions about their own bodies, but to allow a different abortion ban, less draconian than the 1864 ban, to go into effect. That's what Republicans were fighting for. They had a choice to fight between a 15-week ban and a near total ban on abortion, and that's what they've been fighting for. That is the policy choice that they were trying to make that thankfully Democrats were able to stop. I hope people understand that.
They don't have anything except for more control. Like, that's the problem. It's like they don't have anything to offer. So it has to come down to these insane scenarios. Like, that's all they can do. This is it.
Well, they got the dog murder stuff. They could lean on that.
I think there's different kinds of horror. No need to compare them really. But yes, in the grand scheme of things, one dead dog in the past versus the future suffering of a state full of women, I'd take that.
Well, the nice thing about Republicans in America is you don't have to choose. You get murdered dogs. You get women bleeding out in a Starbucks bathroom. You get to have it all, maybe, if you're voting for them.
USA.
USA.
USA. USA. And finally, a cat was found alive after sneaking into an Amazon returns box and being shipped from Utah to California after enduring dehydration and extreme physical distress. It must have been nice for Amazon employees to see a cat.
And I just want to congratulate Hallie and Laz on finding an alive animal story.
Yay!
USA! 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 USA!
Quick note about the story is that she was shipped in this box that they were returning 5 pairs of steel-toed boots. And my dad's reaction to the story is, I just want to know more about why were they returning 5 pairs of steel-toed boots?
And also, I just want to say that the thing I like about it isn't the cat's name. The cat's name is Galena. I thought that was the cutest name.
Of all the things to get stuck in a box being shipped across the country.
Oh, I mean, I would assume that the cat would be crushed to death a million times. Yeah.
That's a liquefied cat inside. That's a rock tumbler.
By the grace of God, this would just be a dead cat falling out of a box in the Amazon warehouse.
Yeah, because it's Amazon's cat, mm-hmm. You know, like Schrodinger's cat. Is it alive in there, pulverized, or has it been pulverized by 10 steel-toed boots?
Ever tumbling.
And the thing is, this story isn't even surprising, because I don't know if you've ever returned anything to like an Amazon Fresh store. They truly, like, they don't even look at it. They just scan the thing, they take the box, and they toss it over their shoulder. They don't care. You could return whatever the fuck you wanted. It's probably a great way to strip drugs, frankly.
Okay, well, you know, put that in the brainstorm, I guess.
I also like that the cat looks like you just told it about what was about to happen to her. Like, she has like a 1,000-yard stare. Why did you buy all those boots?
And that's our show. Thanks to Kendra. Thanks to Hallie. Woo! Thanks to Sarah. Thanks
to David clear, on the ones I and love twos. Dogs.
We know
it's
you do.
Just
we know you do. And I think if you're ever at a point in life where you have to say, to be clear, I love dogs, you've mm-hmm. done everything right.
Yep.
Great.
Lazarus?
I love dogs.
There we go. Me too.
Me too. All right. See you sluts on Saturday.
Woo.
Love It or Leave It is a Crooked Media production. It is written and produced by me, John Lovett, and Lee Eisenberg. Kendra James is our executive producer. Chris Lord is our producer. And Kennedy Hill is our associate producer. Hallie Kiefer is our head writer. Sarah Lazarus and Jocelyn Kaufman, Peter Miller, Alan Pierre, Will Miles, and Mohamed El-Sheikhi are our writers. Evan Sutton is our editor. Kyle Seglin and Charlotte Landis provide audio support. Stephen Colon is our audio engineer. And Milo Kim is our videographer. Our theme song is written and performed by Sure Sure. Thanks to our designer, Bernardo Serna, for creating and running all of our visuals, which you can't see because this is a podcast. Podcast, and to our digital producers, David Tolles, Claudia Shang, Mia Kelman, and Matt DeGroat, for filming and editing video each week so you can.
It's Love It or Leave It. They both seem like they would have the popcorn machine, which is famously, apparently, Lorne Michaels has the popcorn machine in his apartment.
What's the popcorn machine?
In his office.
Oh, just like a popcorn, like a...
Like an actual popcorn machine.
They make it before he arrives, so you know he's about to arrive because you smell the popcorn emanating through the office.
Some
good Lorne lore.
Yeah. I thought you meant that it was like some kind of... I thought it was like a euphemism for some kind of
like
skin treatment.
I wish it was...
bounces against your skin and clears the pores.
I love
popcorn.
Can you
imagine getting called into Lorne's office and he's telling you you're fired and just smells like popcorn?
It just ruins that experience whenever you go to the movies.
Yeah. I've had weirder experiences at work.
Well, sure.
Yeah, you work here.